On the cover, our two heroes kneel in front of a heavy safe with a complex locking mechanism. Alina presses her ear to the door while turning a combination spinner. Frequency looks through the side of the safe, seeing through the ones and zeros to the piles of nanobucks inside.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Frequency. Bringing the megahertz.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 23, Digital Getaway. Issue 3... Safe cracking. The first panel is the black and white colored noir city. It's night. It's raining. It's dark and stormy. All that stuff. And we join Alina and Frequency and Ultracade, where they are standing in front of a bank. In front of a... What does the bank look like to you? What are you imagining?
The bank definitely normally in the day would probably be very bright gold, a lot of bright reflective surfaces on it. But at night with the rain, probably just illuminated from like lower level street lamps, very big shadows on it, very dark, large columns all along the front, several stories tall, large glass windows.
Okay.
With no light coming out because it's night. No one's inside working.
Okay.
Trying to break in.
How exactly are you attempting this? So if this is night and it's not, the bank is not open, then what is going on? Like, how are you attempting to get inside this building? Because the main front doors are locked.
Okay. So we're cat burgling. I think, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Probably still in suits and dresses.
Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous. Why not? But we're sort of sneaking around, and really, we just need to find...
There's always a fire escape.
There's definitely a fire escape.
So we're climbing up the fire escape and testing one of the windows. And every once in a while, we see the flashlight from one of the guards inside, and we just have to, like, you know, roll away from the windows and stay out of sight. And then once they've passed, start working again on the lock, trying to unlock the window and get in.
Yeah, I think that works. I think that this is a good example of, like, Alina wouldn't necessarily be able to hack into a server, but she can definitely jimmy a lock. And because Ultracade is helping, like, basically bridge that gap with this virtual world, you're able to break in. What are you talking about while this is happening?
Well, so...
Tell me about your plan.
So while we're trying to break in... Like, I could be sort of saying to you, like, look, that's a really high security lock. There's multiple levels of redundancy on this. Like, if you let me in, I can find a back door through it and I can hack through it.
Okay. Yeah, sure. But I also just have this bobby pin. And if you see...
But Alina, it's a bobby pin. This is... You don't understand the amount of programming that went into the lock that this, like... The firewall that this is representing.
And it goes click.
And I slide open and I say, I'm sorry, you were saying something. And then I just roll into the bank.
So you are in a room now. It has a desk, like a big old fashioned desk with a pretty nice chair. There's probably like there's a thank you for 10 years of service. Glass thing on the desk and a like a trophy of their kids' baseball, something or other. But then the rest of the desk is just like covered in envelopes and papers and books. And it's just some like administrator's office.
This is definitely their desktop.
Yeah.
Like when they have every single shortcut on their desktop.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of pictures. There's a bunch of pictures of their kids all over the desktop.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do we access where System Panic is keeping all the money he's stolen? Where do you think it would be? Like a safety deposit box or maybe a vault?
I mean, I don't know how much you... I know you had all those files. You might be able to see how much was taken. I mean, if this thing's stealing tons of money and it's got the ego to do it, I don't see why it wouldn't be a vault.
Yeah, I bet it is a vault. So why don't we try and break in?
Okay. I mean, we'll need to find it first, but... probably down low somewhere towards the ground floor in one of the basements.
Yeah. Let's go.
Okay. So I just want to let you know that you're really good at a lot of the sneaky stuff, and I'm pretty good too, but try not to leave me behind.
Okay. I won't.
Okay. But also, a lot of these guards, they're not guards. Right? They're just programs. So I might be able to do a little bit of, you know, computer magic too. So you don't need to, you know, knock every single person out.
Oh, well, okay. Can you knock them all out now?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. So how about I just knock out the ones we encounter then? Cool?
Okay. You take the lead. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
So where are you going? What's your plan here? It's like you're up on us on the second floor. You climbed up an escape. So this floor is going to be mostly offices. Like as you stick your head out, you can see that it's just like there's offices. There's a bunch of big windows that look down over like the main floor of the bank. If you were looking for a vault, it would probably be down on that main floor.
Okay. So I think we Pink Panther it down.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah, okay. And like you said, there are the occasional guards walking in like very like straight lines, turning and then walking, and they have a flashlight, but it's pretty systematic. It's pretty obvious. Like,
can we see the beam of the flashlight?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yes.
It's a hard line.
Yeah.
Hard light.
It's like a cone.
Yeah.
Yep.
And as you move, Ultracade is just gonna follow you.
Okay.
Okay. How close is Ultracade to me?
He's very close.
Oh, I'm so uncomfortable with all of this.
I'm very sorry.
This is so exciting.
All right, back up. Okay. So, we get down to the
main floor
and head towards the back of the bank behind all of the counters.
When you get down onto the main floor, into the, like the main lobby area, there's the tiles that are like, there's pretty nice fancy tiles, probably alternating black and white in a nice pattern. If you pay attention, like you probably almost don't notice it at first, but Frequency, because you were the one who noticed this earlier, some of those tiles like don't line up like in the nice grid that they should.
Oh.
And there is like a definite path from the entrance to the door back straight towards like behind the tellers to where the vault is. And even the little desk, like even like if there's like big wooden, I'm imagining like there's like a big U where all the tellers sit behind like the wooden and glass fronts. And if you just went straight forward towards the like you have to go through the desk to then get to the big vault door. That desk is a little bit like slanted, like the design in the wood is like twisted a little bit.
Okay. So we're definitely on the right track here.
how to get to it.
Also, don't forget, I don't know if your goal is just to steal the money, but at some point, if you want to attract the person who owns that money, you need to get caught. You need to make a fuss.
Hmm.
If you do this too clean, they'll just never know you stole their money. Which could be your goal, but...
I think we should at least get the money before we set any alarms off.
Yeah. Okay, so I think, you know, we just need to hop behind the counter, get back there, and I think that's where, you know, everything should be. Small security boxes, lock boxes, vaults. You know, I'm sure we can figure out which vault is the one we're looking for, and, you know, once we get in there and maybe secure some of this money they stole, we could try and bring some attention to ourselves then.
All right.
So when you... You're able to, like, again, there are these security guards that are moving around, but you are able to wait until they're not paying attention or when they're looking in their other direction with their beams of flashlight. And when they, and so you're able to jump over and get into this, like, there is a big vault door. It's this big, like, circular door that has a big, like, wheel that you turn or something like that. And it is locked.
Of course it's locked.
Yes. Anybody got a stethoscope? Can anyone produce a stethoscope out of the digital ether?
Yeah, of course. Here, let me try. Do I just think of it? Here, did that work?
Well, I don't...
I think that it doesn't at first, and then maybe after another moment, a stethoscope pops into existence.
Okay.
And I catch it before it falls and clatters to the ground.
And Ultracate is kind of like, you're learning. We could be a good team.
Okay.
Isn't this fun?
Shut up. I need quiet. So I'm... putting the stethoscope against the wall and trying to wait for the click.
I want you to unleash your powers.
Okay. Can I have the die?
Plus freak.
Ten.
Okay, excellent. So on a 10 plus, or on a hit, you do it. So you listen, like you have a lot of powers of investigation. Mm-hmm. And so like you are like, you've got this nice stethoscope, which is in reality, some piece of code that's letting you interface with this lock. Mm-hmm. And what does it look like as you sort of click through and unlock this big door?
So it looks kind of like it looks kind of like I'm shining a light, and where the light is illuminating is transparent. So the gears are sort of working in between. Cool. And so I can hear and almost see where things are making a connection and catching instead of just rolling past.
Okay.
And once I've got the fourth number,
sure.
I start swiveling the
big door.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so because you rolled really well, too, I'll give you this. The door opens pretty quietly. Like, it probably starts to swing open loud, like, but you catch it because you were, like, you unlocked this door pretty flawlessly. Mm-hmm. And you catch it before it just, like, swings wildly open. Because it's a big, heavy door, and once it sort of hit, gets that momentum going. And so you're able to, like, hold it. Because, again, there are guards here. They'll notice if you leave this door open.
Right.
So what are you doing?
We're headed into the vault, and do you have something you want?
I mean, are we shutting it behind us or no?
No, I was thinking that we're just searching through at the moment.
Okay. So once inside the vault, I'm looking around again, trying to find those weird lines, that sort of scarring in the pattern, mm-hmm. to try and figure out where this person program has yeah. been.
When you enter this room, there are probably like three or four so bit like smaller heavy vault doors of a more like square type that you imagine don't open into full rooms, but sort of open into just a safe somewhere. But if you look at the scarring, the place where the patterns don't quite match up, they lead along the ground to a wall that has no vault door or no safe door.
Alina, good news, bad news. I think I know where the money is.
Is that the good news or the bad news?
That's the good news.
Oh, what's the bad news?
I think it's behind that wall right there.
How do we get through a wall?
I mean, we could blow it up with dynamite.
Maybe a sledgehammer first.
Okay, sledgehammer.
Can you make one?
Sure. And I like close my eyes, and Ben is like closing his eyes, like really straining, like thinking really hard, just trying to make a sledgehammer or two pop out of nowhere.
And
thank you for not like grunting.
Nobody wants to hear that.
No.
Yeah. What? Yeah, I think you make a sledgehammer, and I just don't think it's that hard. So what does it look like? Describe the sledgehammer and what are you doing with it?
So the sledgehammer, if you look like probably like on the page, if you just glance down, it looks like a sledgehammer. Like there's really nothing to it. And the stethoscope was probably the same way. It just looks like a normal stethoscope. Mm-hmm. But if you really like take a magnifying glass and look at it, the line is actually a faint, it's traces of zeros and ones. Mm. So it's a very similar art style, but any lines or details in it is just made out of just repeating sequences mm-hmm. of zeros and ones. Other than that, like it looks like a normal sledgehammer.
Cool.
To your normal person skimming through the comic, they'll be like, oh, weird, a sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, true fans, TM, will know.
Okay, so I'm going to try and smash through the walls.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want you to roll to unleash your powers.
Uh-oh.
Seven.
Plus 2 is 8, 9.
Okay. You do also have one team if you wanted to use that. Don't forget.
Okay.
You don't have to. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So on a 7 to 9, the marker condition or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
Let's say unstable or temporary.
Yeah.
So this is in the virtual reality world. It's a sledgehammer. But in the digital world, it is a representation of some sort of code that Frequency has written.
Probably like a brute force.
Some sort of ridiculous brute force thing that he threw together really quickly. And I think that he is being a little distracted by the fact that like he's seeing the code, but he's also seeing a sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. And so this code ends up being a little bit more potent than he was expecting. And so you wind up and hit this wall with this sledgehammer. And I think the building cracks in half. And like,
whoa!
Like where you were expecting like to tear down parts of this wall, I think that like where you strike, instead of like just like pounding through the brick or whatever this is, it starts to crack, and that crack runs up to the top of the ceiling and then along the ceiling behind you and down the wall behind you, and the whole like bank just almost physically moves apart like a couple feet.
Jeez.
And it's weird because it doesn't really have too much of a sound. Like you hear the sound of the crackling of the brick as it breaks, but then as it like slides apart, like it's just more flooring and more like just like it doesn't look like you've. It's just kind of a weird thing. Like this is not something that would ever happen in real life. And so you find yourself standing in the middle of a new alleyway running straight through this bank. And like, if you look in front of you, you can see there's like, there's a metal fence that's like a metal cage that's holding in. It's got a bunch of carts full of like big sacks full of, coins that have the nanobuck logo on them.
Mm-hmm. And they instead of the dollar symbol on the bags, it's the logo. Oh, perfect.
It's like an N and a B with lines through it or something. But beyond that, you can see straight through to the next street and a car drives past. And behind you, you can see the front of the bank and a couple of the guards start to turn and shine lights down this new alleyway into where you are.
Well, I guess we made some noise. So let's get as much.
Yeah, let's try and grab that cash.
Yeah.
Right? It's conveniently on carts, like big rolling carts.
Yeah. So let's
Did you say they were locked in a cage still?
Yeah, they're in a cage, but it's not. After you just ripped a hole in this building, breaking into this cage, like you, it's kind of a basic lock, so you're able to get in pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's.
So we're rolling the carts out, and trying to get them up out of the basement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're in a basement. You're on the first floor still.
Okay, so let's try and roll the carts out the front door.
The back door. The new back door that we formed.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
We're going to that back street because we're still running away from the guards.
Mm-hmm. And so you move these carts full of nanobucks down this new alleyway. It's pretty simple. Like there was a wall there, but now there's not a whole lot of walls. And you see like weird like desks that were cut in half. And there's like a water cooler even that's cut straight in half, but both halves still have water in it. Like it's real weird. Like this is like this was not the effect you were intending with your brute force thing. And as you get to the end of this new, like there's the bank and then there's actually like an actual, like there's an alley. So there's an alleyway that ran behind the bank and then there are two buildings offset. So there's another alleyway that keeps going through. And once you get out of the bank and into the actual and into an actual alleyway, you see a big man, almost as wide as the alleyway, step into your path and raise a gun. And it's like a big old fashioned Tommy gun, and he's gonna start to fire down this alleyway towards you. What do you do?
Oh no.
Duck.
Okay.
And
yeah, I'm gonna duck down behind the carts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Use the carts as cover.
Can you make me a gun?
Yeah.
I think that at this point, like, as you're saying, can you make me a gun? Ultracade just hands you a gun. Like, he has already started producing guns. Like,
okay.
I expected this might happen.
Okay.
Let's have some fun.
So, let's run away.
Okay.
Well, I start shooting at them, and I say, go back the way we came.
Okay.
All right, and so I'm right behind you, but still kind of firing wildly behind me.
All right. So we're running back through the bank.
Are you bringing the carts with you? Or are you leaving the money?
I think we're still...
I still got the cart.
Okay. Yeah, Liv, we're still rolling the cart.
Still running with the cart.
It's good cover, man.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So we're on our way back towards... where the guards are coming at us from.
Yeah. If you head back towards the bank, you'll run into the bank security.
Yeah. I'm aiming for one of them.
Okay.
I'm just going to try and boom, smack him with the cart out of the way.
Why don't you roll to directly engage a threat?
I can do that.
Five.
Eight.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9, choose one of the following. Resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity, impress, surprise, or frighten.
I'm going to... create an opportunity for my allies.
Okay. So what is the opportunity that you create? I mean, it could just be as simple as you just hit this security guard, so they're not, maybe they're going to focus on you and not focus on Alina.
Yeah, trying to help them get away.
Okay.
Get through, because I'm assuming there's maybe multiple guards.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sort of come in and...
But if you hit one, so as you hit this guard...
Yeah, I'll pick up their aggro.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what's happening.
Yeah, they'll go after me.
So you run into this guard, and it... Like, you're pushing the cart into the...
Pushing the cart into the guard.
And when you hit this guard with the cart, it's weird, because it doesn't look like when you hit a person with a cart, instead of, like, toppling them over backwards, mm-hmm. it hits them, and, like, the person just slides backwards, standing upright, and at some point stops, and it's earlier than you would have expected based off of the momentum, and so... you tumble forwards over the cart.
Okay.
And now these guards are definitely focused on you. There were maybe a couple others in the area, and they have all swung their flashlights over towards you. And this one that you were right next to, it actually, he grabs you.
Oh, no.
And prevents you from, and like, as you are like flipped over the top of this cart, so you've definitely attracted all of their attention.
Yep.
And
that's right. Come and get me.
And so, Alina, you have the opportunity to sneak past them, attack them while they're not focusing on you, whatever you're trying to do. You have an opportunity.
Okay. So he has all of their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I grab a newspaper and I just shout, "Hey, fellas, you ever see... 6 nanobucks disappear into thin air?" And so then I light the newspaper on fire and hover it over the bin of nanobucks.
And what are you trying to do here? You're trying to...
I'm trying to distract them away from him so he can get away.
Okay.
And because they're not directly on me, I can then get away after him.
Yeah, I want you to roll to provoke someone.
Okay.
So roll plus superior. So it's a 7.
Okay.
Okay. So for NPCs, on a 7 to 9, they can choose to... they stumble. You take +1 forward against them. They err, gain a critical opportunity. They overreact. You gain influence over them. I choose. I think that they overreact. I think that they immediately drop what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are threatening the money that was in the bank that they were supposed to be protecting.
Yeah.
And they immediately let go of frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were just focused on him very heavily. And they just immediately turn around and drop him in a way that, like, a normal human wouldn't. And they mm-hmm. start to move towards you. Like sliding, like not even walking. I think they're just sliding along the ground because they're now moving faster than a person could really walk typically. And I think that you gain influence over them. I think that sort of like practically what has happened here is that you have figured out that you have discovered they have a weakness. These things are not... they look like security guards, but that's just the VR. This is some kind of a security system. They are designed for one purpose, and that purpose is protecting the money that's in their bank. And you have threatened their money, so they're going to drop whatever they're doing to protect that.
Okay.
And so, like, you basically have figured out how to push their buttons.
Okay.
So they're coming right at you.
Right.
But frequency, now you are the one who has an opportunity. Or not an opportunity, but like they're not focusing on you anymore.
They're still going after Alina. So do we want this cash?
I mean, sort of, but more like we can get the cash once we get the dude. Okay. Yeah. So you like nanobucks so much. Fetch and I just push the cart down.
Back in the towards the alleyway?
Yes.
Towards the thug?
Yeah.
Okay. They are definitely going to, once you are no longer threatening the mm-hmm. money, mm-hmm. like maybe one or two of them are going to follow after the money to try to go get it. Mm-hmm. And the last one is going to like go back to moving around this bank. I think you're probably kind of in this weird gap where you like broke this bank in half. And mm-hmm. so you're like technically outside of what they're supposed to protect.
We're not in the bank anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there is a crash of lightning and thunder. And I think that there is a flash as the like there's far off lightning, and then there is a lightning strike that hits one of the electrical lines, and there's like a transformer up on the top of a building somewhere, and it strikes that and it explodes across the street. And in that explosion, there's like this like billowing cloud of smoke that comes out of it, and it drifts down in a way that like smoke shouldn't drift, like it should go up. Instead, it's coming down, and it forms into this villain. It forms into a shape of someone that looks similar to System Panic, but obviously now they're not in like cyberpunk whatever, like Matrix leathers. They're in a jet black suit with a black shirt and a black tie. They're wearing a black fedora, and they still have the black scarf across their face. And they start to walk towards you.
Okay. Have I been reading the files?
Sure.
Now,
absolutely. Yeah.
6-7.
Okay. So tell the team one important detail you've learned from your studies.
I've been reading the files, so I don't really know who this guy is.
But you've seen every case mm-hmm. from that they've attacked.
Okay.
And you read it pretty recently.
Yes. This guy has not doesn't do hand-to-hand combat.
Okay.
So fisticuffs, he may be, I believe he is vulnerable to fisticuffs.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
like direct engage.
We definitely saw when Frequency ran into them earlier, as mm-hmm. soon as he made physical contact, or as soon as Frequency tried to attack him, mm-hmm. he evaporated and disappeared.
Mm.
I think that Ultracade, right behind, who is standing like awkwardly close right behind Frequency, is like, interesting that he had to come in on a interesting that he chose to come in on a bolt of lightning and not just appear in the system. I wonder if the simulation is slowing him down.
Okay.
And then I think we should do team, because here we are.
Okay.
With you facing against this enemy. So, who is the leader of this team?
Me.
Yep.
Okay.
It's your mission.
Do you have influence over Frequency?
I don't.
So we're still at three. What is your purpose in the fight?
To apprehend System Panic.
What is your purpose? Same yep. purpose? Okay. So, up to four. Any member of the team, do you guys mistrust each other?
No.
No.
Okay. You probably don't trust Ultracade, but he's probably not part of the team.
Yeah, no.
Are you ill-prepared or off-balance? I don't think so.
This is what we were trying to do.
I wouldn't say you were super prepared, but like, yeah this is what you were trying to do.
Yeah, we're not ill-prepared.
You're also with Ultracade, who is like the one who is building this world, so yeah. I think you're good. So you're at four team. You face off against... you're probably towards the front of the building now. Mm-hmm. There's a thug and some guards somewhere behind you, but they are kind of like tripping over each other. And in front of you across the street is this guy, is System Panic, who has started moving towards you. What are you doing to prepare or whatever? You, I think, still have a gun.
I still have a gun, but I'm trying to avoid that.
Okay.
Just in general. What about brass knuckles? How about this? I pick up an old pipe that I find.
Yeah.
on that's lying on the...
Actually, you probably still have the sledgehammer, but yeah. Yeah, there's an old pipe. If you want there to be a pipe, there's a pipe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I pick up a pipe. I tell Ben, we may need to make a quick getaway. Do you think you can maybe find something to figure out how to get a vehicle to us?
Oh, I mean, I can just go steal a car if that's what you want.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. There's plenty of cars.
You think you're good with this fight?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Just, I mean, keep your eye out and, and your ear out and stay away from creepy pants. So I'm basically just brandishing a pipe.
Sure. Okay. I see you attacking this guy as he hits you. All right. So roll to directly engage the threat.
Why does this always happen?
I don't know. I rolled dozens of times to test the audio, and I never once threw them off the table.
Okay, 7. Superior?
Danger.
Danger. Still, doesn't really matter. It was a 7.
It was a 7.
Okay, 7, 8, 9. So it's a 9.
Okay, so on a 7 and 9, choose one of those things. Resist and avoid their blows. Take something from them. Create an opportunity. Impress, surprise, or frighten.
I want to resist or avoid their blows.
Okay. So tell me what this moment looks like as the two of you run towards each other. Or like he's running towards you and is like, I don't know if he's actually trying to hit you. He's trying to grab you. And you are fighting him with this pipe.
Okay.
And you trade, or you hit him, but he is, but you're avoiding being hit, grabbed by him, basically.
So what I envision it to be is more that he was running full charge straight at me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment at which he would have almost been able to grab me, I bring the pipe up and then roll backwards.
Okay.
So he just goes straight over my head and falls flat on his face.
Okay.
And so I get back up and... look around, make sure that Frequency is working on on the getaway's vehicle.
He hits this. So like you throw him behind you, and I want him to hit the wall of the building, the wall of the bank, not hit the gap. And when he hits the wall, all of the bricks like do that thing where they split and not like break the way that you broke the building in half, but like split and offset from each other the way that like the pattern is just kind of being messed up, and all the bricks, like it's already like everything is dark and black and white kind of in this scene, but they like start to like fizzle and get like the staticky look behind them, and this building starts to just like twitch and like act in weird ways, and it just like collapses into a big thing of smoke behind him.
Okay.
Actually, probably amongst him.
Okay.
So like all around him, he's now covered in this, like he's hidden in this thing of smoke as this building collapsed, and but it's like it's smoke, but it's staticky smoke.
Okay.
So Frequency, what are you doing?
So I'm trying to like get a car hotwired.
Okay. So what are you looking for? What kind, like, cause there's a bunch of cars everywhere here. So what kind of a car are you looking for? Are you looking for something that's fast? Are you looking for like a van or something that you could throw someone in the back of?
Yeah. I'm looking for something like a truck or a van that's got space in the back. Ideally like a van, like a loading van or something where the back is separate from the cab.
Okay.
So you can lock someone in the back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for something that, you know, doesn't have like a car in front of it.
Okay.
Because I don't have my license or anything yet, so I can't really drive all that well.
So I think you find a... Ooh, there's like an old-timey milk truck.
Okay.
And it's like got like this whole refrigerated back section that in theory has milk in it, and like a front separate cab. And it's just like, it's idling on the side of the street because... whatever program is the equivalent of milk. It's probably like an email. Actually, that's what it is. It's an email. It looks like a milk logo. It's like a guy with a glass of milk, but it just says email. And it's just like a guy with like an envelope, which is ridiculous because it should be a mail truck, but it's not. It's a milk truck.
Yeah.
And so the guy who, or the program who is delivering the milk is currently out of the truck. So it gives you an opportunity to,
okay.
Like they'll be back in a second, but if you act fast.
Oh yeah. No, I'm hopping in and flooring it.
Okay. Are you driving? But it is pointed away from.
Oh, Alina, well then right spinning now. It around.
Okay.
So yeah. You're going to turn I'm driving around. Back towards the fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
So back to Alina. You see this guy stand up in this staticky smoke, and he pulls a gun from mm-hmm. behind him. He reaches out into the smoke, and it condenses into a staticky looking shotgun. Mm-hmm. And he is going to fire at you.
Okay, again, I'm going to duck.
Okay.
And I'm going to unholster the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
My weapon. And return fire.
Okay. So again, I want you to roll to engage a threat.
9.
Nice.
10, 11.
Okay. So then you get to choose 2 of those things.
Okay. So I want to resist and avoid their blows.
Okay.
Again, I'd like to create an opportunity for my ally to drive up.
Hit him with the car?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you guys are faced off against each other in front of this bank.
Yes.
And he fires off a couple shotgun rounds at you, but you're able to dive behind some mailboxes or something. Like there's something, I said there were a bunch of cars in the street, so you dive mm-hmm. behind a car, and you return gunfire towards him. And you kind of like it, like I think you have a machine, like a Tommy gun again. Okay. And so it's that thing where like you're firing in a line and it's mm-hmm. forcing him to run to escape from the attack. And right at the end of like before you're about to let go, you like nick him with a bullet, on his leg, and it causes him to trip and fall. And he has run into the street at this point. And so Frequency, you are driving this truck. Maybe not super with a lot of skill, but
there's going to be some sweet skill.
But back towards this towards where Alina is, and you see this thing where she like is diving behind a car, and then all of a sudden, and then she's firing yeah. back, and now
and he's
system
like,
panic is in the middle of the road,
stumbling into the road. Yeah. So it's been raining, right?
Yes.
So it's really slick and wet yes. and stuff like that. So what if I throw the handbrake to do a 180? And reverse with the door open.
Okay.
I could definitely roll for that.
Yeah.
And that can be when you do a custom move, when you do an awesome VR stunt. I cannot do that.
No, just that's awesome.
That's what was in my head. What
that's going to be.
I think that would be unleashing his powers.
I was going to say, I have a weird, I don't know.
I would say that he is using a thing in the VR world
mm-hmm.
in a way that it is not really designed.
That's true. You're yeah. reshaping the environment a little bit. Okay, yeah. So roll to unleash your powers.
I'm already using an email server.
Yeah, because you're not trying to attack him. You're trying to catch him in the back of this truck.
Correct.
So that's not really an attack.
Okay, so unleash your powers.
Yeah.
9.
Nice.
Okay, so on a hit, you do it. On a 7 and 9, mark a condition, or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
Or do you want to use team to make it a 10?
Or do you want to use team?
Yes, let's make it 10.
Okay. So what do you do? So you see this truck coming mm-hmm. towards the system panic, and you probably see Frequency's face as he like, because he's driving like straight towards you, and he gets this kind of crazy look, and you see him doing things in the cab of this van, and you're pulling on the emergency brake or something,
yep. mm-hmm.
And this car spins around 180 not in a way that like a car should spin,
mm-hmm.
but in just like a like he did something clearly with his powers to like. To invert basically the car from the way that it was previously. So what are you doing to help that?
So I think at the moment at which he spins around, I grab a hold of the side of the truck. I'm on the side facing System Panic. Mm-hmm. As so Frequency is facing the opposite direction.
Yeah. So now Frequency is coming backwards. He's in reverse. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to jump onto like the rear bumper
and like even shut the door
and
after
shut
or
the
something.
That's yes. what I was thinking. And yeah. you shut the door. So as soon as like System Panic gets like hit and tumbles forward into this car.
Yeah.
And you're there in that moment to
slam shut
the door shut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So basically, do we need to go back and describe that or are we good?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
I think that's good. I can use that.
Okay.
I just
got a really dumb idea. I'm sorry.
So you have this villain in the back of your milk truck now,
correct.
Which is like a mm-hmm. mail truck server thing.
Correct. So I can just email him to the DDC.
Sure.
I think that's a little bit
non-standard, but I think that fits with what we've established.
Can you code the email so it goes past their spam filters?
Okay.
If you are going to try to email the code of this guy, who is, like, he's a human, and humans don't typically move through code, but also, like, he can move freely through the internet. So if you're going to try to use, like, a mail protocol, like, you'll have some advantage because you're in this mail server truck thing.
Yeah.
But if you want to do that, then I need you to roll, I want you to roll to extend, to unleash your powers.
Okay.
To build, like, you've got to make this mail package more robust than it is normally to prevent it from letting him out. Like, it's got to be more secure. Like, add layers of security around the mail package.
That's
8, 9. Plus, no.
Okay, so again, so you, on a hit, you do it. Mark a condition. Or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
I will happily mark a condition because I don't want it to be unstable okay. or temporary.
So yeah, in this because you are in, so just to like recap this, because you are in this VR world, he's moving a little bit more sluggishly. He's like UltraCade is doing its part to make sure that he is abiding by that System Panic is like being forced to abide by the rules of the simulation. And so you hit him, you trap him in this mail truck. You quickly, maybe even like you zip the file. You're zipping the file. You're creating
password protected.
Yeah, you're encrypting it. You're creating, like, you're quickly trying to throw as much security onto this, and you're emailing him to the digital detention center.
Yeah, the DDC. I've marked off insecure because I feel kind of bad doing this because I know that this is a physical person that I'm digitally locking up.
Okay,
so that's I do feel kind of bad about that, but also I want to get out of this simulation as fast as possible.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you do. And I do too.
Okay. So you're trying to get out as fast as possible. You're just like, done with this headset, I'm getting out.
I just mm-hmm. know that UltraCade is going to want their end of the bargain, and I don't really know if Alina has actual contingency plans for that, or if it was like I'm going to say yes and we'll figure it out later.
Okay. So you take your headset off and it comes off just fine. Like, it wasn't like that incident where, like, in the original incident, they couldn't get her helmet off, which is where Alina's friend's helmet off. Mm. I think it was Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are just in this dark room of the VR center.
Okay.
What do you do?
I yell at Ben to disconnect UltraCade's hard drive. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So you go over to that server.
Yeah.
That had the hard drive where you had like sort of pulled it out of its case and plugged it into this thing. And you unplug it.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah. Phew.
So I think we set it in concrete and then mail it back to the DDC.
Sure.
Oh, <that's>, okay.
I don't know where you're going to get concrete, but
I've got a guy.
So you go and depower the system, no problem.
Okay.
And and unplug the hard drive and everything like that, and you're preparing to leave, and one of the TVs by the door that would like display the different times and different groups and whatever pops on, and you see the face of the original Ultracade in his like weird DNA code form, and he's like, I expected you wouldn't uphold your part of the bargain, so I took the liberty of leaving. It was a pleasure doing business with you. I hope we can do it again.
Shit.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at RHarvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.